Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to the squirrel. Good morning. Good morning to the cattle roaming the wilderness all alone. Good morning to the grizzly bear. He doesn't have that new cell phone. It is October the 18th, 2024, Bo Blimp Doc. It's just after 4:48 a.m. here on the Olympic Peninsula, not far from Skunktonville, not far from Jeebustown, not far from Greenton or Brill. These are your Zero Hedge headlines as of 4:49 a.m. She's not as strong as me, lip reader deciphers Biden, Obama, grumpy old man chat. Buffett sheds more Bank of America shares after buybacks push stake above 10%. Hedging is the new mantra in a tricky market. Los Angeles has the highest home-to-price income ratio in the U.S. Oh my God. Mexico moves to amend constitution to favor state power firm. That sounds tautological. Europe prepares list of U.S. goods it will target with tariffs if Trump wins. Oh boy, free enterprise. The case is more serious. New York Times hid extent of Kamala Harris plagiarism from their own expert. Oh my God, can you believe it, people? This is crazy. And I continue. Zelensky's unrealistic victory plan is driven by one of two ulterior motives. One is cocaine, I'll give you a hint. The other one starts with coke and ends with cane. French media blames SpaceX for 2,500 Airbus layoffs as Elon Musk leads rocket race. Wow. God, of all the dumb stuff people invest their brain on these days to observe and absorb. Elon Musk and SpaceX is one of the dumbest. Oh, Dan, that's crazy. He's getting us to Mars. How many unique people have been to space since 1961? And keep in mind, most of them that went to space went about 100 miles up. Yeah. Their wives and their wives' lovers are all voting for me. Is the Trump hedge fund trade to just buy everything? 19 Ukrainians arrested at the Moldovan border as men continue to flee conscription. Well, that actually makes sense. Next NATO member may not be Ukraine, says Secretary General. Maybe somebody else pops in front. Are they going to make the State of Israel a NATO member? I wouldn't be surprised. It's Bo Blimp Doc. Absolute hell. German teacher describes sexism, bullying, and racism in a predominantly migrant school. The U.S. fears an uncontrollable escalation, a sequence with Russia, much more than with Iran. China macro data dump unexpectedly beats across board. The kids aren't all right. Local Washington police report 350% increase in juvenile fights. The kids are going crazy. The kids ain't lazy. They listen to their phone. They listen to the groan of the world. The world is saying to them, it's all pointless. It's a clockwork. Orange Julius. You know what I mean? And I continue. Raytheon to pay over $950 million in settlement over fraud, Qatari bribery, and export violations. Oh boy, that's a lot of money, not really. How many years does it take to save for a condo? Oh my God, these are your fucking Zero Hedge headlines as of Boblimpdoc early, that is, you know, around 4:45 Boblimbion or whatever a.m. Nobody cares, nobody knows, it's 4:53 a.m. right now. Let's think about stuff. So I read something, I'm going to drink some coffee before I continue. I read that they were rebooting Matlock. You know the show that showcased Andy Griffith after the Andy Griffith Show torpedoed? But it was also before that weird space show, what was it, Project Salvage? I have no idea. But Andy Griffith took a bunch of garbage and sent a rocket ship to the moon, and tell me if that's not commentary. Matlock. In a lot of ways, Matlock is something that if the world were moving along, and I don't mean in terms of racism or sexism or homophobia or any of that Danish bullshit. I mean if we were evolving as people and creating new art. Because as Nietzsche once pointed out, and I think it was in Twilight of the Idols or The Birth of Tragedy, when a civilization starts repeating the same artistic constructs over and over and over again, according to Nietzsche, that's a sign of decline. So the fact that we are rebooting Matlock is not so much about Kathy Bates getting a power move, because I think it was Kathy Bates. I didn't care enough to research this, folks. But it looked like Kathy Bates. It looked like she's been on Ozempic. So, and the funny thing is, I'm thinking they're going to call Ozempic the Matlock drug, because as a result, her face kind of does look like, you know, Andy Griffith. Yeah. I write. That doesn't mean I'm a good writer. But there are millions of people out there who are great writers. And there are so many stories that could be told. They could be. The fact that we're not telling them is not the absence of stories. I believe it was the first century AD, and I don't know or recall the exact Roman emperor. It could have been the second century. But they were approached by a person that had, you know, a steam engine. And they said to this Roman emperor, look at my steam engine. And I think eventually they did end up installing it to open and close doors, but they could never see beyond their ignorance. They couldn't see beyond the fact that that steam engine meant you didn't need to have a slave to open the doors. But how do you take that away? How do you undo the paradigm? There are plenty of people who can tell stories. Why is it we have to reboot Matlock? So I'm sorry about talking about this, but it just struck me that this is not a good sign. I don't even give a fuck if you like Matlock as some kind of franchise, but it seems like we're stuck on Law & Order, Matlock, some weird hoopty-doopy movie that ends up making you believe reality is bullshit, so you become an even deeper atheist. We're stuck on a few particular shows. We get some creativity, but not very much. And more or less since 2020, it's been a lot of sad, sack, grotesquely and obviously artificial divide and conquer bullshit. It's been a lot of stuff about identity politics. And at some point, you have to ask yourself, what the fuck is going on? So anyways, I'm gonna move along. So I read something on social media, and you should research it yourself. Although, frankly, we're just going to deconstruct what I read. And it comes from an account called Gold Telegraph. But breaking news, Bank of America is warning that gold is the last safe haven as treasuries face risk from soaring United States debt. And keep in mind, you could have read stories like this in the 1980s when we crossed $1 trillion and people said the world's going to end. And if you think suddenly I'm a Paul Krugman guy, you'd be wrong. It's just that nobody knew how deep the abyss of bullshit was. They didn't know. I didn't know. It wasn't really until 2008, 2009 that I began to see. But I'm going to read this. I'm going to read it again, start again. Breaking news, Bank of America's warning that gold is the last safe haven as treasuries face risk from soaring and exploring United States debt. And then the last line in this post from Gold Telegraph is, everything is starting to come together. But I don't think statements like this are going to age well. And let me explain. I don't believe we're going to enter another debt cycle somehow supported by some technology that will further devalue, you know, human life, and in that sense make everything like credit card debt. I don't think there's going to be another North Sea discovery. Yes, they're going to toss little discoveries at you, but if you understand the difference between the North Sea discovery and the shit they're finding at 20,000 feet below the surface of the ocean, if you understand the difference in terms of cost, then yeah, they'll talk. But that world is over, folks. We're living in a world where if you're lucky, one barrel of oil gets you 4, maybe 5 at best. But typically it's 1 to 3. And the problem is the banker already owns 2. Yeah. Everything is starting to come together. The fact is, gold has been money for thousands of years. But like most things in a rational universe, it's not simply going to appreciate in value for no particular reason. One of the reasons why gold's value will increase is because the dollar is going to become more and more like the obvious trash it is. And then you're going to enter a period of repudiation, which means that one of the reasons why, and again, I don't believe in the politics of the voting. I know a lot of you guys do. But I do believe in the Sovietology, which means try to understand the bullshit they're saying to you. But one of the reasons why Trump is talking about using tariffs against countries that repudiate the dollar is because that's about all, you know, that and war. And he's supposedly running on a, we're going to end the wars bullshit. If you're not going to do any wars, the only other thing you can do to punish people for not using the dollar is to increase your tariffs ridiculously. And in the process, increase the scope of the black market. Yeah. My phone is going off, so I gotta go handle that. What a bunch of bullshit, right? I don't know. I have been waking up in the morning trying to do these podcasts, and I think it's a great idea. But it's also been a change from how I was living just a little while ago, and it's weird. I don't want to go into it. All we got left is to threaten things like tariffs. And as far as that goes, that doesn't go anywhere good either in general. And by the way, I'm not a globalist. People think globalism was about free trade. I'm not a globalist. I'd like the United States to be a free country. I would like every individual or group of individuals that wants to be allowed to trade with anybody in the world. If other countries want to build walls and set up, you know, claymore mines and machine gun nests and have giant tariffs, whatever. That's how they spend their weekend. But wouldn't it be great if the United States could be, you know, in business to be about, you know, business? Wouldn't that be great? The other part of this idea about everything is starting to come together is at some point, and I don't think it's that far away, and it's going to be true for a while, probably, food is going to have more value, more trade value than gold or silver. Food will have more trade value at a certain point than even diesel fuel, although it will become comparable to things like diesel fuel. I'd say gasoline, but, you know, we'll see. So the funny thing about this particular statement is I don't think it's going to age well. So let's go on to the next topic. But Dan, what you're saying is you shouldn't. No, I didn't say don't buy gold. It's just that if you're buying gold long term, that makes sense. That's an, right now, your long-term investment is physical gold and silver, and your medium-term investment are boxes of cigarettes and cases of whiskey and other things that you don't necessarily consume, but you know people will want. That's your medium-term investment. And your immediate investment is food, water, and fucking shelter, security, community. How the fuck are you going to stay alive? I want to keep it that fucking simple. Much of this will be in my fucking manifesto. Oh yeah, I'm writing my manifesto. I've only done the introduction. I'll probably talk about that in another podcast. You know. But I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm going to read on a bit here. There's a couple other things I might want to comment on. No, let's continue. Let's continue. So here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. One or more people on planet Boblimpdoc have the first name Arson. And I bet they go to sleep crying. One or more people on the planet have the first name Arson. And of those people, one or more, they have the last name Fire, but spelled with a Y. And that's a dumb quote in a way. But I've often thought about people and their names. Like you'd say, well, nobody would name their kid Arson, but there could be a place in Germany or Norway or, my God, that terrible little country Denmark that Shakespeare once wrote about. And by the way, as a constant reminder, originally Shakespeare wanted to call Hamlet, the original title of Hamlet was That Fucking Place Denmark. But his Danish artistic agent said that wouldn't fly because the Danes controlled all the trade and the liquors and the chocolates and the coffee, and it meant that Shakespeare wouldn't have a good day. Yeah. Yeah, originally Shakespeare wanted to call Hamlet, That Fucking Place Denmark. And it was a polemic. It was designed to wake people up. If you understand that Hamlet is really about Denmark, then you really realize what he was trying to say. But there are people whose first names are Arson. And their last names are Fire, F-Y-R-E. And they go to sleep crying because people make fun of them. They go to sleep crying because there was something in the news. Suspected arson. It was arson. A whole bunch of babies died because of arson. Okay, next topic. And it's funny because today I don't have a ton of topics, so maybe I'll read my introduction to the manifesto. So I'm going to give you guys a thought experiment. I want you to imagine a situation. Like, you could be listening to Coast AM, whatever. I don't know if that's still a thing. You could be listening to whatever talk hour, talk time, drive time hour bullshit is on your favorite AM or FM news station. Is Glenn Beck still a thing? Probably. Imagine you're listening to some show like Glenn Beck or whatever, some show on your way to work. Maybe it's a talk show guy nobody's never heard of. Maybe it's a podcast. You're listening to your podcast. You're stuck on the frickin' 520 bridge if it still exists, or the I-90 bridge if it still exists. You're stuck in Seattle traffic and you're listening to your favorite fucking podcast. And your host has a guest on, and it's Mistress Delilah, the Predictinator. She's a psychic. And this mistress of the night, this fantastic delight, you're listening to the podcast. You can't see her, but you can imagine her. She's mystical and busty and beautiful, and she's got really cool red hair, and she's got green eyes. And she makes a prediction on this podcast you're listening to right now. She says, terrorists will attack Washington, D.C. on November the 12th. And it's scary because it seems really serious. Like, Mistress Delilah is so serious, you can feel it. You can even imagine that her nipples are prompt perky. Yeah. Perky and pointy and stiff and hard. Anywho, yeah. The psychic says that on November the 12th, and don't worry about the year, this could happen this year, it could happen next year, it might have happened 57,000 years ago during a previous epic of the human construct, one that is erased by time. Whatever. On November the 12th, it's going to happen. Now, I want you to imagine at that very same moment, the terrorist, the actual terrorist, one of them, maybe it's the bomb maker, he's listening to the same podcast. He loves Mistress Delilah. He loves her. He actually does. He has a thing for her. A lot of guys do. They got posters. They got deep fake AI. Really dirty posters of Mistress Delilah. And so, yeah, he's into her. And this bomb maker for the terrorists, the ones that are going to set off a bomb in Washington, D.C. on November the 12th, this particular bomb maker is listening to the same podcast, and Mistress Delilah makes this prediction. And as you would expect, this terrorist is alarmed. And so he goes, talks to his boss about what he heard, and he said, listen, I don't know what's going on here. This sounds crazy. But some psychic just predicted that, you know, what we're going to do. And what does his boss say? Well, in this particular case, his boss says, okay, go to the backup plan, plan B, New York City, January the 15th. Now, keep in mind, we could treat this like an algorithm. You could say, well, Mistress Delilah goes on the radio show on November the 13th and says it's now changed to New York City on January the 15th. If you want to go down that road, you can. But for now, pretend that this is only one iteration of this moment in time. The first question is, was the psychic right? Like, if the psychic tells you on November the 12th something's going to happen, but that information leaks out and the people who intend to do that thing hear about it and they change their plans so it doesn't happen, was the psychic right? I mean, that's one of those things you have to ask. If you could have the ability to see the future, we're not talking about the past right now. This is a different way of thinking about time. This is unresolved time. This is literally in the future time. If you had the ability to see a moment in the future, and it was a really terrible thing, and you went and told someone this is going to happen, and that change in behavior leads to the thing not happening, does that mean it was never going to happen? Does that mean that in some weird way, ipso facto, the person that makes the predictions proves themselves wrong? I think this is why Cassandra exists as a mythological construct. I really do. If you want to get to the nuts of it, I think the reason why the Cassandra mythology is so powerful. So if I'm going to give energy to that mythos, again, as storytelling, I'm a Christian. I'm not talking about the Greek gods and the Greek tales as being real, but I'm talking about the story of Cassandra, the story of somebody who could see the future but would never be believed. And in that sense, and that's kind of the key, because Cassandra is not believed, the things that she predicts happen. We have a lot of Cassandras. In the global warming climate change world, there are tons of Cassandras. and they have made predictions my entire adult life. And in some ways, some of the predictions have come true, but mostly they've been kind of wrong. Or have they? It's hard to say. I can't tell you, but I can tell you there are lots of people out there in the world of climate change who make a living making dire predictions. There are folks in the world of economics, you know, I'm not going to name names, you know them, but they'll tell you the world is ending every 2 or 3 years. And listen, you could accuse me of that if you didn't know my history. I wrote about all of this 9 years ago, and it's a PDF on my website. It's called The Odds of Survival. You can read it. I'm not saying I predicted everything. I'm saying I'm one of those people, one of millions of people, who were not so obsessed with their fucking social media profile that we actually were, in a sense, more connected. I was not special, but a lot of people had that insight. So I'm not somebody who's telling you the world's going to blow up tomorrow. I will tell you, though, I think that things are going to fall apart. And predicting a specific date is a bit absurd. And in the scope of history, if we're lucky, the kind of event that is approaching might be categorized as a 1,000-year event. The kind of event that could potentially set us back 1,000 years. It could. And I think that's probably what's coming. It might not be that bad. It might be like the 14th century crisis where we ride through it, but in 100 years we're okay. But in reality, I think it's going to be pretty difficult. Not the end of the world, but we're going to have challenges. And I'll also tell you that for all the Cassandras in that global warming, climate change world, in the world of economics and everywhere else, for all the Cassandras about viruses and bacteria, for all the Cassandras about the bad Norman Borlaug food, which is true, but for all those Cassandras, for all of them, every single one of them, there are a number of topics they don't discuss. They don't bring up. They don't bring up, you know, punctuated equilibrium as a concept because they throw it away. They don't bring up the fact that nature is not a gradual thing, that it's mostly discontinuous and nonlinear. They don't bring up the fact that it is quite possible to seem like everything's okay, and then, yeah, the next moment, things cannot be okay and it can happen overnight. They don't like to talk about that. They like to preach gradualism because gradualism makes it feel like, well, you'll live long enough to go to Walmart next week. You know? So getting back to the core topic here. If a psychic makes a prediction, like Cassandra, but instead of being disbelieved, is believed, and the event does not happen, is the psychic right or wrong? Because if I were a psychic, I would not want to be public about it. Like, let's say I knew that on November the 12th, something bad was going to happen. My best move is not to go on a radio show. In fact, let's just state this for the record. All things being equal, if you hear predictions on some podcast or radio show, chances are they're probably not going to happen as predicted. It's not always the case, but those are not people interested in helping you. They're interested in helping themselves. But let's say, for the sake of argument, some psychic saw an event like something exploding, a dirty bomb or something, in Washington, D.C. on November the 12th. If it were me, I would, you know, if it were me, right, and I'm the psychic, I would hope that it would be a little less vague, which means I have enough information to go off of, that I theoretically could find the people who want to do this, and then I'd probably make it look like, you know, the feds are onto you. But you got to keep doing that, don't you? And then chances are they end up killing you, right? So even if you delay the first attack, there's going to be another one, right? But if they kill you, and you didn't go public, then maybe the thing happens anyways, right? You see, this is the dilemma. So I would say the best move probably is to be public. It really is, in some sense. If you believe you have information, and pretend you're not a psychic. Let's say you're just some random dude who comes across some data that somehow by accident you get the wrong email, so to speak. If you're just some random dude who gets the wrong information and says, listen, this is what I got. I wasn't supposed to see it. It went to the wrong person, but it's terrible. It doesn't have to be a psychic, is my point. your best move probably is to be public because there's at least one or two groups of people who might not want you to live. The terrorists don't, and frankly, the people that own the terrorists, you know, if we want to get deeper about this. I know that you probably asked yourself, Dan, why are you thinking about this? Well, I think it's worth thinking about. A lot of folks have made predictions. I've made predictions. I told you guys in the year 2016 that in 5 to 10 years, shit would start falling apart. But I wasn't the only one saying that. I was just 100% certain for myself that the best case scenario was worldwide economic collapse. And so, yeah, find the odds of survival, read that. In late 2019, I told people, and I was very specific, I said, the actual Church of the Lord is going to be driven underground. And this was in September of 2019, and I 100% to this day stick by that prediction. If you go to a 501c3 state-sanctioned religion, I'm not going to say God bless unless I'm using a lowercase g. But the fact is, even though there may be a lot of good Christians who go to a 501c3 church, for the most part, the churches themselves, the people that represent them, they went literally and figuratively underground, which means they went towards the devil, a lot of them. And to this day, they're still preaching the words of the devil. A lot of them are preaching that what's going on in Gaza right now is justified by God. And I would simply pray and ask the Lord, how many thousands of tons of conventional explosives do you need to drop per square mile to completely achieve God's plan? That, you know. So I've made predictions, and I believe my track record is okay. I give myself a B, okay? But I don't have ESP. I'm not a psychic. I would say I'm intuitive, and I think I'm empathetic, so I kind of get the feeling for the spooky stuff that doesn't show up in a news article. But yeah, I'm not special. And I don't think I'm special in the sense of I had an insight that no one else had. A lot of folks in late 2019 sensed that the world was about to change in a big way. And guess what? It did. And the only question I've had since then is what the fuck is going on? Because I don't believe any of the edgelords. If you, Dan, I got an alt guy who says there's white hats at the seat. Shut the fuck up. There are no good cops. There are no white hats. Q is a mind fuck. If you want to get mind fucked and you can no longer go to high school, then yeah, Q's great. Keep getting spoon-fed bullshit. All of these edgelords are telling you things, and all I can tell you is mostly it's bullshit. If go back to 2016 through 2019, specifically around Trump. Go back to all the edgelords who made all kinds of predictions about Trump's first and second term. But the thing is, they made those predictions in the context of he wasn't going to lose in 2020. In fact, some of them said it was like God's destiny. Well, if it's God's destiny, and I don't know how to phrase it, the Lord in heaven can pretty much, you know, how can I phrase this, win an election. He could do that if he wanted to. A lot of this stuff we think is important, the Lord summarized as a curse in 1 Samuel chapter 8. And keep in mind, that was written, spoken, at least 400 to 500 years before the Solon Constitution. So if you're thinking in terms of what does the word king mean, it means sovereign, it means government, and guess what? If you have one, the Lord says you're cursed. Read 1 Samuel chapter 8. Before you preach to me about what Israel is, and you know, spoiler alert, Israel is the children of Jacob. It's not really a place. It's not a government. It's the children of Jacob. Yeah. If you make a prediction and it comes true and it's a terrible thing that happens, you might feel better about your ability to see things correctly. But your friends, your neighbors, for the most part, 8 out of 10 of them are going to think you're a piece of shit. And the one or two people who listened to you and prepared, they're not going to be happy you're right. Most of them won't be, but they'll probably be happy they prepared. My point is, you're not going to get Christmas cards with gold and hookers and pearls or whatever we're trading in the year 2041 Scrompton time or Grinkton time. Grinkton time is coming. And by the way, that's another prediction I've made. And I'm going to call it in March of 2025 if we're still kind of in the same low boil. But that at best, Bo Blimpdoc, which started in early 2020, lasts about 5 years, because when I came to realize in March of 2020 that the COVID was 100% military psychological warfare bullshit, I could not believe they could do that for very long. Like, you can't maintain that tempo of psychological warfare against the population using mainly trauma-based mind control for very long. Eventually, you're just going to drive a lot of people fucking crazy. Sorry. That's the outcome. Well, at first, in 2020, when I thought that way, I thought, well, this is just a super mega version of 2008, 2009, and it matches what I was saying in February 2019 in the podcast Screwbilly. So yeah, I thought, okay, this is the bank holiday, this is a financial event, I mean theft, this is neo-Stalinist bullshit, but it's nothing more. And then we got to 2021 and 2022, and the bullshit racked up, and you got the January 6th bullshit, which a lot of people said, don't go. This is not an authentic freedom thing. And if you're going to Washington, D.C., why the fuck are you going to the House of Representatives? It's called the Eccles Building, dumbass. Read a fucking book, megatard. Read a fucking book. Yeah. We're going to the House of Representatives. No. You're going to a limited hangout where some of you could get killed, because you're fucking stupid. But anyways, it didn't end. It kept on going in different forms. You know, the Ukraine, the never-ending drag queen story time. And frankly, the post-election, pre-election bullshit never ended either. It's at a tempo, the bullshit. It's at an op tempo, more or less, since 2020, early 2020. That is not sustainable. But in March of 2025, if we're still kind of rolling along like this, I'll call it. I'll either tell you, oh, here comes a street sweeper. I'll either tell you that, you know, well, Blimptop continues, but I was wrong about Grinkin' time. Or maybe I'll just, you know, I don't know. But I'll admit it. But the thing is, let's say that in March or April 2025, we are in the shit. What the fucking value is it to be right? There isn't one. And by the way, it was a window, a 5-year window. It could have happened anytime since early 2020. That's kind of why they're doing the stupid shit they're doing, the kind of taster choice variety show, trauma monkey, psyop warfare bullshit, because they need to have control over it. It wasn't a case of where they simply wanted to throw the stick of dynamite and run away. They wanted to wait for the right moment, which is to say that they weren't fully prepared yet. Prepared for what? Who the fuck knows? But if a psychic comes up to you and says, In one month, the world will be destroyed. If a psychic came up to you and told you, in 1 month, the world will be destroyed, on the first day of the next month, the world is destroyed. If they told you that, so maybe it's less than a month, whatever, but they told you, even if they were right, what would it matter? Would it? And then, for those of you who are Christians and are a little wary of these conversations, what does this say to us, to our spirits, to ourselves? What does this whole conversation say about free will? It seems to me that if you have free will, you can listen to a psychic or Cassandra telling you about the future, and you could respond to that information. And if that response saves your life from something the psychic said would happen, was the psychic right? We start at the end at the beginning, folks. for those Christians out there, we know that a big portion of the Bible is prophecy. And a big portion of that prophecy is still unfulfilled. Does that mean that, you know, we understand what day and what hour? No, no. Christ said, like a thief in the night, I believe the Lord was a fairly literal person. He told stories, but I think he meant what he said. If he said thief in the night, he meant thief in the night. And he didn't mean low rent. He meant Ant-Man times a trillion infinities. And so we're just not going to know. We're not going to know. We're not going to know the day or the hour. It will be, you'll be walking with a friend and suddenly your friend disappears. You'll be sleeping in bed with your wife and suddenly your wife disappears. Dan, you're talking about the rapture. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. Not for certain. And if I've ever claimed I know for certain the future, then you have a right to call bullshit on me. But I've made predictions, and I stand by what I've told people. Here's the thing. I've tried to stay in what I call the corridor of plausible usefulness. You know, plausible usefulness meaning that if I give you advice, it's probably good advice no matter what happens. Food, water, shelter, that just seems like common sense, right? Worrying about your community and your security, that's probably a thing you should always be concerned about, right? The problem is that in the last few decades, we've had people telling people you don't need to worry about those things, that we live in a technological post-scarcity world. You don't need extra cans of food. You're crazy. You can just instantly get your food from your toilet food processor regenerated device. You take a poop. You get a cheese sandwich. You take a poop. You get a taco burger. You take a poop. You get spaghetti and meatballs. You get Thai food. And so, yeah, they'll tell you about a future where you can poop in your toilet, push a button, and the poop becomes a sandwich. That's the problem. A lot of people believe that Jetson bullshit, even though for the most part, other than your ironically named devices, it's never happened. Or at least not in the way described, right? I think we're getting fed poop, but just not in the way described. Yeah. So I'm going to close this out. I was going to read the introduction to my manifesto. I'll simply say this. On the website, there's about 1,100 words of stuff. I'm going to write a manifesto. Why am I writing a manifesto? Because it's about time. It's about time. It's about time we did something. People keep talking and talking and talking, but nobody ain't doing nothing. We go to places and we say, soon, 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 it will begin. We say, oh, upon this time, we shall change. At this moment in the future, there will be an arising. But I'm about to preach to you over the next few weeks a lot of materials and sciences beyond imagination, some of which could end up making you a cock star. So yeah, everyone's doing a manifesto. Everyone's doing one. It's bigger than blogging in a lot of ways. So I'm working on my manifesto. I figure it'll be about 20,000 words, plus or minus. Why? Because I don't know how much effort anybody should ever put into fucking manifestos. But I'll have one. And it'll reveal more of the truths of Bo Blimp Doc and Grinkin' Time and what it means to be a scrumbly. We'll talk a lot about cleansing your colon and achieving peak awareness. We'll talk a lot about the Bo Blimp Doc centers that will open up around the country where we can audit you and take your money. And then we'll set up our first Bo Blimp Doc celebrity centers where we'll convince actors and actresses that there's an ancient demon called Scorb and he wants, you know, you to give us your money. So I got a plan. I got a manifesto. I have to finish it, though. If I don't finish it, I'm a piece of crap. On the other hand, what's the point? I mean, along the lines of absurdity, within the scope of our conversation about psychics and predicting the future, what would be the fucking point? You write a manifesto, you're going to change the world. What if I told you that even if you don't believe in God, chances are what's going to happen and the big picture is going to happen. And it's not about free will. Okay, if you think it's about free will, understand that you have choices you can make. Imagine some dude on his way from work. He lives in Japan. Imagine a dude on his way home from work, and he has a choice. Do I see my wife or my mistress? He loves his wife. He loves his mistress. They're both very, very beautiful. They're different, but complementary. He loves them both more or less equally. He has the same level of lust. It's just that he's a hungry male. Does he see his wife or his mistress on the way home from work? The sign's coming up. Make a choice, Hokimoto. So the Japanese businessman on his way home from work turns right instead of left. Yesterday he turned right, 2 days before he turned left. It's a choice. He makes it. Some days it's a 50-50, but mostly it's kind of random, right? That's the way it works. That's his free will. He takes a right, and there's an earthquake, and an actual crack in the earth opens up, and he goes down into it, and he dies, okay? But I'm gonna shock you. If he had taken a left, the same thing would have happened. Exactly the same thing. He would have died. Now, does Mr. Hokimoto have free will? And I would say, yes, he does. But he probably doesn't have the free will to control nature. Like, just because you have free will doesn't mean you can stare at the sun for 15 minutes and then turn it off. You got free will, okay? And you might be doing some cloud busting. But you're probably not going to turn off the sun. Now, could you be a grifter? That's the oldest profession. Sure. And you could be keeping track of these eclipses that none of the other hairless monkey people know about, but you do. And you could trick them and say, I have the power to turn off the sun. But other than tricks and lies and grifting, and there goes the street sweeper again. Other than that stuff. Yeah, other than that stuff, right? Yeah, I'm writing a manifesto. It's gonna be legit, and people will read it, and I'll open up these auditing centers. People will hold on to like these metal tubes or cans connected to some type of shitty lie detector, and I'll determine their energy levels. I'll also convince them that there are spirits living in them that I am capable of removing, and people who paid to go through my license program are capable of removing, but without our help, those spirits will be terrible and will tear them apart inside. Give them IBS. It's terrible. Okay, there goes the street sweeper. If you listen to this podcast and you enjoy it, that's great. I appreciate it. If you've noticed, I'm trying to be more committed to keeping it going now that I have some reasonably decent digs to live and thrive in. If you like it, you can donate to it, but please listen to the following disclosure. Take care of your food, water, shelter first. Before you donate to anybody online, anybody at all, take care of the things you need to survive. If you're setting aside food for your family, like 6 months worth, and that's because you're an optimist, and you have a cat or a dog or a bat or a rat or some sort of pig or squirrel or parrot, make sure you're setting aside food for them too. If there are people in your life, physical people you can actually shake hands with, physical people you know, I don't mean virtual people, you need to be really, really careful when it comes to those sorts of folks, but if there are physical people in your life that you love and know and are friends and family and you care about and they need help, help them before you donate to my podcast. And remember, it's not the end of the world. You know, I'm not a psychic. I don't know what's happening next. In late 2019, I did a podcast called The Great Discontinuity. And I would still call it The Great Discontinuity. The reason why I've been calling it Boblimpdoc is because, well, it just sounds less academic and it sounds funnier. But one of the points I made in that podcast in late 2019 is that even though I believed history was about to become unstuck, and it was, and it did, and we're in it, It was hard to say for certain what's coming next. It's like that hang glider thought experiment I would bring up periodically in late 2019. And I'm not going to bring it up today. But the bottom line is, just because history has become unstuck doesn't mean we're doomed. No, we're not doomed. It's not the end of the world. Crazy shit is happening. And I am sorry, this is a prediction. I don't guarantee it, but I'm fairly certain of it. Crazier shit is coming, and it's going to be off the hook crazy. Like in your memory and your grandpa's memory and your great-great-grandma's memory and the memories of your family going back as far as you guys keep track, nobody has ever seen what's about to happen, and that's the best case scenario. But it's still not the end of the world. And because it's not the end of the world, and because right now we're still in Bo Blimp Doc, which means things are still kind of functioning the way they used to, kind of, you can still kind of have a good time. You can kind of go on a date. You can kind of see a movie. Maybe even watch that new Matlock show with Kathy Bates. You know, be into that. Yes, her and her Ozempic face. Because that's what it looks like, folks. It looks like either it's a different person and I didn't do my research, or it's Kathy Bates and she was on the Ozempic. I don't know. But I'm sure that their publicists came out. She didn't do the Ozempic. No, sure. Try to remember that there will be times, and it doesn't matter what's going on in the future or the past. I'm talking about the present. I'm talking about the now. The now right now and the now that is to come. There will be times in any person's life, going back to the first moment that some fucking salamander decided to crawl out of the gumptus shit sea, I don't know, 300 million or whatever, hundreds of millions, 400 millions of years ago, the first salamander crawled out of the gumptic sea and said, what the fuck, I want to go back. Yeah. For all time, depending upon what you believe about that time, whether it's billions of years old or, you know, a little more than 5,000 years old. Some of us believe strange things. Some of us have to maintain multiple cosmologies because the Lord in heaven can create the universe any way the Lord wants to, and the Lord's not a liar, so let's leave it there. Yeah. There have always been these things, these challenges, always. 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 They've always been part of life. People die. People get sick. The thing that confuses us in the United States of America in the year 2024 is that a lot of us were raised in a place, in a period of history that doesn't really fit. And it's not because of freedom, folks. Freedom didn't do that. Freedom would have actually made us stronger. It's because we got used to ripping people off and ripping off each other and getting a giant free lunch. But, you know, like Heinlein said, there's no such thing as a free lunch. So there are consequences, and those consequences are coming. But right now, things aren't totally down the tubes. They're not totally insane, and it's okay. Try to remember. Critical to remember, no matter what's going on. Especially if you've known somebody in your life who's gotten sick and died recently. Like, you know, I've had a few people. We've all had. By this time in life, yep. At those moments, people will say to themselves, sometimes, I wish I had done something. And not everybody has regrets, but some people do. My advice right now, if you have a few extra bucks before you donate to my podcast, my advice is take those extra bucks and do something that will make you happy. If you've taken care of food, water, shelter, you've taken care of your bills, you've taken care of the things you need to, you've taken care of your pets, and you've done a little bit of prepping, why don't you just do prepping for the soul? And do something that will make you happy. Maybe taking a drive to see somebody you haven't seen in a while will make you happy. Maybe going to a club will make you happy. Maybe cooking a really nice dinner and taking out a HELOC to do it will make you happy. But whatever it is that makes you happy like that, do it. Okay, if you're waiting for a magical point in the future, let me tell you something. Nobody knows the future except for God. And if there is the God, just, you know, if there isn't a God, just go to the nobody knows the future. Not for sure. Okay, not for sure. I believe in free will, so not for sure. We can make predictions on a grand scale, but nobody knows for sure. So ignore that for now. For now, for the present, ignore that. And try to remember, that it's important to be happy. It is Friday. Oh my God, thank God it's Friday. And if you want to donate, there's a PayPal link. Peter Thiel is evil. I know this. Please don't send me angry emails. I have no other options, and I'm sure they'll cancel me pretty soon. It's Friday. Friday, 5:43 a.m. Oh my gosh, can you believe it? I've been with you for a whole hour. We're talking about life and scuzz beams. We're talking about achieving total oneness. I've made several predictions about the fate of the Pope. No, I haven't. Well, I have in a way, but... It's Friday, October the 18th, 2024. I hope you guys have a great weekend if I don't talk to you again, okay?